The wind is blowing, and my people are growing. And they're knowing about my kingdom. They're knowing about my ways. They're knowing about the way in which they should go. Oh, I want you to know me. I want you to know me in greater ways and in greater depths and greater degrees. We've only just touched the surface, but continue pressing in. Continue pressing in for the knowledge of the Lord God Almighty. Grow in the knowledge of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Find out the frequency that God is on so that we can get the information that he's saying. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Psalm 15. We've been talking about tuning into God's frequency. And we saw that there are things that we can do that will help us get on the same page that he's in. And we have access to God's grace. We have access to the Father. And we have access to Christ, don't we? Aren't you glad that we can access those things? Amen. Well, what are some things that will help us tune into God? I mean, if you're going to listen to a radio station, it's really important to have a radio, isn't it? Or some kind of instrument that would be able to tune into that frequency. Well, in Psalm 15, we have a list here of some things that will give us greater access to God. How many want greater access? Now, when I say greater access, I mean, we have access to God. We can come into his presence. We can go before his throne. But, I mean, to be really tuned in so it's clear, so we don't miss his message. Okay? Psalm 15 says, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? And he lists some things here. He that walks uprightly and works righteousness. So if we want to tune into God's frequency, we're going to have to walk. You know, when the Bible says walk, it's really how we live. And how does the Bible say that we need to live here? We need to walk what? Uprightly. What does that mean? To do what's right in God's sight. How many know that our standard is higher, right? The standard that we live by is higher because God is higher. And so we can walk up rightly, all right? And God helps us do that. And if we really want to tune into God, we got to work righteousness, all right? Now, we've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, haven't we? Yes. And we didn't earn it. We weren't good enough to get it, but we get it by faith. We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by faith. And when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. All right, we have right standing with God. And we can therefore then work righteousness. We can do what is right. And then another thing he says, and speaks the truth in his heart. You know, if you want to tune into God, you got to be someone who speaks the truth in your heart. Jesus is the way, the what? The truth and the life. And God works in truth. He doesn't work in lies. But there is someone who works in lies. Who's that? You know, devil, he's the father of lies. He works in darkness. He works in deceit. But God works in truth. So these are tools that are going to help us access God's frequency, to walk uprightly, to work righteousness, and to speak the truth in his heart. He that backbites, not with his tongue, or speaks, you know, or slander with our tongue. You know, if we're going to backbite, that what is backbiting? That's going around and telling things on people behind their back. And it's not necessarily good things. You know, God doesn't like backbiting. If we're backbiting, we're not speaking the truth in our heart, are we? I mean, when you have a problem with your brother, don't backbite him. Go to your brother. Work it out. Right? Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? If he doesn't listen to you, take someone else with you. And if they don't listen to you, bring them before the church. You know, backbiters aren't going to turn into the frequency of God. Or doeth evil to his neighbor. Well, that goes against love, doesn't it? Love does no ill to its neighbor. All right? So these are just things that are going to enhance our ability to tune into God's frequency. Because how many know the most important thing you can know is what God is saying for now? It's not what God said to you 30 years ago, it's what he's saying to you now. And maybe he's still bringing up something from 30 years ago because you haven't done it yet. Uh-oh. Do you know that it wasn't God's plan to spend 40 years in the wilderness for Israel? It was their plan. It was their complaining, their murmuring, and their grumbling. It was their own words that caused them to work or to walk in the desert for 40 years. They got exactly what they said. Okay? Nor taketh a reproach against his neighbor. Did you know that your ears are not a trash dump? If someone is telling you bad about someone else and they're not in your presence, we need to exit from that conversation, right? He's talking about people who shall abide in your tabernacle, who shall dwell in your holy hill, people who have access to God. They live a certain way, they walk a certain way, they behave a certain way, okay? And then, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. Listen, we don't honor people who are opposite of the Lord. We honor people who are for the Lord, who fear the Lord. Okay? You know, when King Saul, when he sinned, he didn't obey God's instruction. Or no, I'm sorry. When Eli was told what was going to happen to his family, his sons were running rampant, okay? They weren't disciplined, they weren't dealt with, they were just doing some evil things in the temple. And there's a statement that God spoke in Samuel, and he said, to those who despise me, I lightly esteem them. See, we're not going to favor someone who despises God, who despises the work of God. I mean, if you read Matthew 23, Jesus said some pretty strong words against the Pharisees. I mean, that whole chapter, he called them whitewashed tombstones. He called them all kinds of things. But that was designed to wake them up from their slumber. They were in a spiritual slumber, and they needed to be woke up. Sometimes we need to be woke up, and the thing that needs to wake us up is the truth spoken in love. And I know sometimes the truth hurts, but because it's like a sword. It's a double-edged sword. It cuts going in and going out, both directions. Okay? He that swears to his own hurt and changes not, how good is your word? People who can tune into God's frequency, they do what they say. Isn't that what God does? He that puts not out his money to usury. What that's saying is he that doesn't charge excessive interest to his own people. Or taketh reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved. Okay? We need to avoid bribes. All right, let's go to another one here. Let's go to Psalm 24. And in just a minute, we're going to go over some examples of tuning into God's frequency. See, these things will, access to God has to be qualified. There are certain ways that God needs to be approached. There are certain things that need to be done. There's protocol that needs to be followed. I mean, if you got an invitation to the White House, would you wear some jeans with rips in them? And a t-shirt that needs to be washed? I would hope not. But see, certain places require certain protocols to be followed to grant you access into those places. And that's what I'm talking about. All right? Psalm 24, verses 3 and 5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands. Have you washed your hands today? It's not talking about whether or not you wash your hands. It's talking about how do you live when no one's looking? What do you do when no one else is around? All right? He has clean hands and a pure heart. Did you know the Bible says in Matthew 5 that the pure in heart shall see God? God loves a pure heart. It gives you greater access into the things of God. Why? God looks to the heart. Clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Vanity is you're all about yourself. Look at me, look at me. I'm a self-made man. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Nor sworn deceitfully. Notice this. Now look at verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So, in other words, God gives enhanced access to people who live like these, like he's telling us to live. Okay? Go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And verse 19. This is a good verse. How many want God's gates to be open to them? Notice what it says, Psalm 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. So God, when someone opens their gates, it's like they're welcoming you into where they are. And notice, he goes in when the gates are open with praise. All right? Because God inhabits our praise will enhance your ability to tune into God's frequency. You want to tune into God, praise him. Why? He inhabits the praises of his people. You know, we praise the Lord here because it helps our hearts get ready for the word that he wants to give us. How many know our hearts got to be ready to receive the word? Not everybody receives the word readily. There are a lot of people who resist it. All right, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. There's a story here of Elijah. Now, Elijah just had his greatest victory and his greatest defeat all in the same moment. His greatest victory was when he defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he called fire down from heaven. But his greatest defeat was when he let a letter from Jezebel cause him to flee and run away from what God wanted him to do. Okay? And let's go to verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Wait a minute, Elijah. You just destroyed the prophet. You just destroyed 400 prophets of Baal. And he gets a letter from Jezebel, and he's wanting to die now. and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. I know when angels make you a cake, it's gonna do you well. That cake that he had lasted him for 40 days. It's a pretty good cake. Must have been angel food cake. Now notice this. He came to a cave there. He came there unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Was he supposed to be there? No, he wasn't supposed to be there, because the Lord said, "What are you doing here?" See, here's the thing. If you want to have a pity party over yourself, God will not show up as a guest. When we choose to have a pity party over "woe is me," we're going to miss what God is saying to us. And this is what is happening here. Okay? "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." Okay? Now he's on the mount of God. All right? "Now behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." Huh. God is trying to show Elijah that he is not tuned into his frequency, because he's in a place where he shouldn't be. See, when you take pity upon yourself, you're going to end up in a place where you don't want to be. He basically took God's provision and God's grace and God's goodness and went the wrong direction with it. He's having a pity party. So he tuned into the wind channel, but God was not on that channel. I mean, the wind shook the mountains. The wind broke the rocks, but God was not in that wind. Unlike some insurance companies that say these things are acts of God, they are not acts of God. Let me just ask you this question. If God causes all storms, then when Jesus rebuked the storm, he would have been rebuking God. But Jesus rebuked the storm because the storm wasn't of God. It was designed to prevent them from going on their journey. Listen, God's got a journey for every one of us. And Satan will try to come up and he'll try to deter you from your journey with storms. But you've got to tune into God's frequency. You've got to look past the storm. Jesus was sleeping and he was woke up, and the disciples said, "Don't you care that we perish?" What a dumb question to ask Jesus. That's beside the point. Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and says, "Peace, be still." And the disciples are in shock. And he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Because they could have done what he did. But they weren't tuned into the frequency that God was on. So here Elijah is sitting on this mount. He's on the mount of God. And this wind comes. A strong wind. But God, the Lord, was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Surely the Lord is in the earthquake. I mean, the earth is moving. Things are moving. God's got to be in the earthquake. But he wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't on the earthquake channel. All right? The Lord was not in the wind after the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Surely the Lord is in the fire, because, I mean, Elijah called down fire from heaven. God used fire in a great way. But the Lord was not in the fire. So far, we've seen three external things. I mean, if you were on that mountain and that mountain began to shake, you thought God was moving. But he wasn't. It wasn't God. God was not in those things. He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. So God, what channel are you on? What frequency are you on, God? And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. God was not in the external, but he was in the internal. It was a still, small voice on the inside. See, we cannot be people who are led by our circumstances. I had my own set of challenges yesterday and today. But thank God, my strength in my body steadily grew so I can be here right now. Because it didn't look so pretty. And it was so when Elijah heard it. See, he finally tuned into the frequency of what God was on. He finally was able to get what God was saying. Because God wasn't in the fire. He wasn't on the fire channel. He wasn't on the wind channel. He wasn't on the earthquake channel. But he was in the still small voice. He was something on the inside. Began to speak to Elijah and he heard it. He's now tuning into God's frequency. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? See, now God is in the voice. God wasn't in all the external stuff, but he's in the internal stuff. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel. Have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come to Hazael, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Anoint Jehu, the son of Nim, shall you anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shall you anoint to be prophet in your stead. Uh-oh. See, because Elijah could not get over his pretty party, he could not tune in the frequency of God, his ministry was ending here. When maybe he could have done a whole lot more for the Lord. Now, he still did some things, but God is telling him that, okay, Elijah, your time is coming to a close. Because God, Elijah took God's provision, he took God's grace, and he was at a place where he shouldn't have been. Okay? And look at verse 18. This is the real kicker right here. Yea, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Boy, that was news to Elijah to find out. Here he's saying, it's only me. And, oh, excuse me, Elijah, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Isn't it amazing when you tune into God's frequency, the information that you get to hear? Now, where was those 7,000 when Elijah was facing the prophets of Baal? They were probably interceding for him somewhere. But do you see? Elijah got self-imposed. He started to look to himself. He wasn't looking to God. He missed what God was doing, missed what God was saying. So he tuned into the frequency. He tuned into the inner voice channel. You know, sometimes we got to get away from our circumstances and we've got to quiet our minds so that God can speak to us in a still, small voice. Why a still small voice? Do you realize the closer you get to someone, the less louder you have to talk? And we have to realize that God is in us. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So when circumstances don't look like they're happening like they should, Don't be moved by the outward circumstances. Don't be moved by the external things. Take some time and tune into God's frequency and listen to his voice. All right? Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're going to see another example here of someone who tuned in to the frequency of God. This woman in Mark 5, let's look at verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but grew worse. Okay? This woman, she's got this disease. And she's doing everything in the natural that she can to take care of it. Doctors are good, but doctors are limited. All right? Now, 12 years of listening to doctors, what happened to her condition? It grew worse. Okay? She is looking for the healing channel, but she can't find it because she's not tuned into the frequency. All right? Therefore, she's not getting the information that she needs that could help her. But look at verse 27. When she what? When she heard, what happens when you hear the word? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Okay? Notice, she heard of someone. She heard of the healer. She heard of the deliverer. She had heard of Jesus. She finally got on to the frequency. She finally tuned into the right channel that she got a hold of the miracle channel. She found the miracle network. What, you know, why didn't she hear Jesus in those 12 years? Doesn't matter. She heard of Jesus now. Okay? And what she heard was about to transform her life. Okay? She heard of Jesus, and she didn't even think about it. She didn't even reason about it. The minute she heard of Jesus, she said, I want that. And she began to be in hot pursuit of Jesus. Notice the Bible says, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Why would she do that? Because notice, she said, verse 28, she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, I guarantee you that in 12 years of going to doctor, the doctor would have never prescribed, touch the hem of this guy's garment and call me in the morning. That would have never been a prescription from the doctor. Like I said, doctors are good, but doctors are limited. But there's one doctor who's the great physician. And he wasn't even having a healing meeting. He was walking to Jairus' house. He didn't even set up saying, today we're having a healing meeting. He's just walking with Jairus to his house. He's minding his own business, and because of what this woman heard, because she tuned into the right frequency. And when you're on the right frequency, you get the right information that'll help you. And she took that information and she believed it with all of her heart. How do we know that? Listen, if you're going to make your way through a crowd just to touch the hem of his garment, you better believe something. She embraced it with all of her heart. Notice what happened. And straightway, that's immediately. Mark uses these power words, straightway. The fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. The only thing different was she heard something different. 12 years, she kept hearing how bad she was, and she grew worse. But on this one moment, she heard something different that changed her life. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Verse 31, and the disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched your clothes?" Everybody's touching Jesus. But everybody is not tuning into the frequency. What frequency did she need to be on? She needed to be on the faith frequency. Because you connect God, you connect to God by faith. Faith pleases God. Everybody was touching him, but nobody was getting anything. Only this one woman. That's why the disciples were so puzzled. We see everybody thronging you. And you're asking, who touched you? Because probably thousands of people were touching him. But there was only one touch in faith. There was only one touch that activated the power of God. There was only one touch of one person who tuned into the frequency. She zeroed in on Jesus. And nothing could have stopped her from doing what she did. It worked. You see how when you get on the right frequency, your life can change? If things aren't working out like the way you want, change channels. Here's something different. If all you hear is it's not going to work, or you hear the negative side of things, change channels. God is not a negative God. God is a positive God. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. These are examples of people who just tuned into the frequency. Let's go down to verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. So I want you to get this picture. He's heading out of Jericho, okay? He's got his disciples and a great number of people. There's a large crowd. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a large crowd, okay? Once again, he's just walking. He's just minding his own business. And there happened to be someone who was blind there. His name was Bartimaeus, all right? Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Well, when you're blind in those days, that's all you could do. He was doing what he could do to try to get money. But notice, when he, what? When he heard, what did he hear? He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Is Jesus the Word? Could you say that Bartimaeus heard the word? He heard people talking. Maybe they were talking about the miracles that Jesus did. Maybe they were talking about the woman with the issue of blood. Maybe they were talking about Jairus' daughter. Maybe they were talking about the water turned into wine. Maybe they were talking about different things. But there was something that Bartimaeus heard that changed his life. He tuned into the frequency. See, his eyes didn't work, but his ears sure worked good. Amen. How many know you got to use what you have, right? To the fullest. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He is tuning into the frequency. He is tuning into the miracle channel. Why? He needs a miracle. He's blind. Okay? Now, I like this. Verse 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. Let me tell you something. If you hear Jesus, don't let anybody squash your excitement about Jesus. You be as excited as you need to be. Don't let anybody stop you from getting from Jesus. They said, shh, like he was in the library or something. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. He's like, "I don't think so." He said, "I've heard, I'm on the miracle channel and I'm getting my miracle." But he cried the more a great deal. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Did you know that healing is a form of mercy? He heard of Jesus and he began to cry out for mercy. And Jesus stood still. Now, this is my favorite part. And commanded him to be called. The very same people that told him to be quiet have to bring him to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? See, when you turn into the frequency of Jesus, don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything, if your flesh is saying, you don't need to go up and get prayed for, you just tell your flesh, shut up. If you get thoughts, when there's a call to have hands laid on you, and you get thoughts, the devil's whispering in your ear, don't you go up there. You just tell him, be quiet. See, once you got it on the frequency, go after it with all your heart. Don't let anything stop you. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calls you. They changed their tune. They went from saying, hold your peace, to be of good comfort, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment. Listen, if you're going to get ready to receive from God, you got to be ready to part with the old and get ready to receive something new. See, in those days, their garments identified your occupation. And because he was a beggar, he had a certain clothing that he wore that identified him as a beggar. When he gets ready to come to Jesus, he takes it off because he's getting ready to receive something totally new. Okay? And notice, he's just crying out for mercy. All because he heard of Jesus. All because he heard the word of God. And he didn't let anyone stop him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that I should do to you? Now, wouldn't it be obvious? If a blind man is in front of you, why would you have to ask him, what do you want him to do? Because that's faith. See, faith is very clear in its request. Okay? Jesus wanted to see. I mean, Jesus probably figured out that he was blind. But Jesus said, what will you have me do for you? One of my friends years ago, he said, it's basically Jesus said, name your miracle. And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, my power has made you whole. Is that what it says? What made him whole? His faith. Where did he get that faith? From what he heard. And based on what he heard, he did something out of the ordinary. If you want an uncommon blessing, you're going to have to do an uncommon act. You can't just sit there like a frog on a log and expect God to move on your behalf. You got to act on your faith. You got to do what you believe. These people went after it and they got it. Same thing with the woman. It was her faith that made her whole. It was what she heard. She heard Jesus. She heard the word and she zeroed in on. She tuned into that. She took possession of it. Look at, if your ship doesn't come in, swim out and get it. You got time for one more? Let's go to Acts 9. Acts 9. Let's look at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way or any people who believed in Jesus, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. This is a real nice guy here, Paul. He's going to arrest you because you believe in Jesus. You talk about discrimination. Okay? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. How many know God knows how to get a hold of you? Now, everyone is different. Paul needed to be woke up, so he needed a bright light to shine around him and to wake him up. All right? He was a passionate persecutor. I mean, he did it with zeal. This man lived for the law. He thought he was doing right. He embraced persecuting like no one ever did. And so God connects with him with a light from heaven. Paul had saw this light wave, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I bet that was news to Paul. Here he has a conversation with the Lord. The Lord said, why are you persecuting me? Paul thought he was persecuting Christians. He didn't think that Jesus was the Messiah. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Not only, he's having a conversation with someone that was crucified and risen again. Jesus is talking to him, and he probably heard about the crucifixion. He probably witnessed some crucifixions. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. So Paul didn't get his instruction right there, but he's on the right frequency. God has got his attention now, and I like how Jesus operates. He said, I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to give you some time to think about it. All right? He said, go into the city, and it'll be told you what you must do. And verse 7, the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Wow, I bet that was freaky. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So he's blind. And he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat or drink. See, fasting is another thing that you could do to really get in God's frequency. Fasting, it puts the flesh on hold. And it makes you more sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the things of God. So here was Paul, this avid persecutor. He meets Jesus, and now he's blind for 3 days. Okay? And He does what the Lord says. He goes into the city. He had no choice. I mean, they had to lead him into the city. He couldn't go there on his own. And verse 10, there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And he said to him, Lord, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here. Notice his answer. The Lord is talking to him, and he said, behold, I'm here. That's a statement that's saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm ready to do. I'm ready, willing, and able to do whatever you want me to do. That's the same thing that Abraham said when he sacrificed Isaac on the Mount of Moriah. So Ananias is a ready servant, because Ananias is already in the he's already on God's frequency. He can hear his voice. He's tuned in to what God wants. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. I bet Paul never prayed like that in his life. Hey, Paul, what happened to you? Well, I had an encounter with the Lord. Isn't it funny how when you have an encounter with the Lord, it turns you into a praying person? Maybe if your prayer life is a little bit shallow, you need to have an encounter with the Lord. Okay? And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So Ananias talked with the Lord and said, Lord, isn't this the guy that persecuted the people? And the Lord said to Ananias, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now think about this if you're Paul. You spent a good part of your life persecuting Christians. And now God's showing you the things that you're going to suffer. Paul, I have an assignment for you, but it's going to require you to suffer some things. Will you accept this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds? I don't know if it did that. But Paul had a choice. He could tune into God's frequency and accept what God wanted him to do and accept the suffering, or he could reject it. But Paul accepted it. And Ananias went in, laid his hands on him, got him filled with the Holy Spirit. The scales fell off of Paul's eyes, and then Paul was baptized in water. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And basically, God used this man, Ananias, to jumpstart the ministry of Paul. Because both men were tuned into God's frequency. So, if you want to tune into God's frequency, you got to have your ears on. Right? Do you have your ears on tonight? Heavenly Father, I give you thanks and praise that our access to you is increased. Father, we have a greater access to you where we overcome challenges that would keep us away from you. In the name of Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, God's got answers. God's got power that you need to overcome. You're not in this alone, but God wants to do great things for you. Let God jumpstart your heart tonight like he did with Paul. And if you need prayer, I just want you to come up right now and receive from the Lord. And purpose in your heart that you're going to be a doer of what you hear. See, fear is something that works to try to keep you away from God. But don't let fear have its way. You don't have a spirit of fear. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, she has such a heart of compassion. Lord, I just ask you right now in the name